very much. Thank you for listening to me all night.
You're certainly welcome, sir. Okay, next case, please.
Case number 11,941 for Delaware Electric Co-op seeks a variance from the front yard setback, section 115-182A of the Sussex County Zoning Code. The property is located on the west side of Sussex Highway, Route 13, and the east side of Cart Branch Road, and both sides of Adams Road. 911 address is 14198 Sussex Highway, Greenwood. The zoning district is C1. The tax map is map 530, district 530, map 14.00, parcel 16.00 and 18.01. Specifically, the applicant is requesting a 22-foot front yard setback on Cart Branch Road. We received 0 letters in support, 0 in opposition, and 0 mail returns.
Okay. excuse me, Bud's going to have to be excused. He's going to go out and change his bottle.
I'm out of oxygen, guys. I'm sorry.
He's going to go out and change it. He's okay, man. He's just going to go out and change it.
I got to go out to the car.
Let me go get it. Do you want to take a break?
Oh, yeah, can you? Yeah. Guys, I don't want you to pass. I don't want to pass out in front of you.
I want you to pass out.
Already.
Had you read the title yet?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yep. All right. She'd read everything.
All right. Good evening. Can you say your name and address for the record?
Jeff. 14198.
Do you swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? Thank you.
Good evening, Mr. Chairman.
Good evening, sir.
My name is Terry J. Work. I'm with the law firm of Hudson Jones, Eric and Fisher, and I represent Dell Electric Cooperative. And with me tonight is Mr. Jack Jester, who is the manager of substation and system protection at Delaware Electric Cooperative. And as has just been announced, we're seeking, it's a 22-foot variance from a 60-foot setback is what we're seeking. And that's to allow the cooperative to install a natural gas-fired emergency backup generator to replace its existing diesel-fired emergency generator. And I'm going to be talking, just to give you kind of a perspective here. This is an architectural rendering. The big building on the left is a new warehouse that the cooperative has just obtained approval from the county to construct. But behind that, this building here is what's called the wire shed, and it's called the wire shed because that's where the co-op stores its cables of wire. And directly behind that is where we'll be talking about this evening. And as is your practice here, I'm basically going to make the presentation, and then Mr. Jester will come up and affirm what I've told you. I know that several of you could not be here for the January hearing, but at least 3 of you were, and I told you a lot that evening about the history of the co-op and the history of its headquarters property. And I'm not going to go through that again tonight in the interest of time, but I would request that at least the pertinent parts of that record be incorporated by reference into this hearing. One of the things I did tell you in January was that the co-op currently provides electric service to over 93,000 customers, and that it's done so while maintaining some of the highest service reliability rates in the Delmarva Peninsula. And one critical component of service reliability is being able to continue its headquarters operations in the event of a major power failure. And to ensure that that doesn't happen, DEC has maintained a 455-kilowatt diesel-powered emergency backup generator on its headquarter property since approximately 1998, and it's located right behind that wire shed. Unfortunately, when it was tested in 2016, that generator failed to meet since that generator was installed, new air quality emission standards, and it failed that. And then DEC spent a number of months negotiating with DENREC to try to find a solution and investigating various alternatives to remediate the problem. But eventually, that totally failed, and what happened, if I do this right, what happened is the co-op was served, as you'll see, on October the 6th with a notice of an environmental violation by DENREC. And basically, the clock had run out for the co-op at that point. And without going into all the details, I'll just get to the end point. The co-op, by that point, had already spent over $50,000 attempting to remediate the problem, and they now had to replace it. There was no way to fix it. So they were faced with either spending over $300,000 to purchase a non-certified scrubber device that's hooked up to the existing generator to try to get it to comply, but there was no guarantee for that unit, and it also would require time-consuming and expensive testing on a routine basis. The other choice was to replace the old generator with an EPA-certified natural gas generator that would meet DENREC's stringent conditions. So, as I said, this is an aerial view, obviously, of the co-op property. I'm sure you're all familiar with it. The green roof building is the main office, and behind it is the existing warehouse. What appears to be a parking lot down at the bottom is where the new warehouse is going to go, and you can see the red dot behind the wire shed, and that's where the generator we're talking about. A little closer up view, the red arrow points directly to the existing generator. You can see Carp Branch Road off to the left. The yellow arrow shows where the new generator is going to go, and where we're proposing to put it, I should say. And I want to click ahead and then go on. This is basically, as you can see, it's essentially a perimeter survey, and there's a little insert there, box. So it's kind of an enlargement. And this is what I want to use. The new generator, has to go where it's being proposed for basically three critical reasons. The first is that the power feed into the co-op headquarters comes up Carp Ranch Road. And there are facilities here and here, down here. They're called PTs.
Sensing devices.
They basically sense the voltage coming into the wires. And they go up into that serves the entire headquarters complex. And if they detect a drop in voltage, it immediately fires up the generator and switches to the generator as the power source. So the co-op headquarters, the entire facility, is not without loss of power. So the existing generator is there because the power feed comes in there and these voltage sensors are there. The second reason is that this little thing up here is a transformer. So the power goes either from the power lines to the transformer, or if it's going through the generator, to the generator and that transformer, and then that transformer steps down the power and distributes it to the entire headquarters site. And the third reason we have to put it in this place is that, because one of the things I thought of, why don't we just put it in the old footprint? But we can't take the existing generator out until the new one is installed and online, so we don't run into the risk of having a power outage I think it's going to take about a month to get this thing up and running. So those are the reasons. Now, as you can see, is it this one? Maybe it's the next one. Yeah. The setback is 60 feet, and the extreme northwest corner of this generator is, I've got a hand turner, I have to apologize. But that's 38 feet. And as you can see, because of the angle, as you go further down Carp Ranch Road in a southerly direction, it kind of falls away. So the actual setback, we need a 19-foot variance at the southwest corner and a 22-foot variance at the northwest corner. Mm-hmm. And now I want to show you, I know some of you have been down there before, either in connection with January or in connection with this hearing. This is a view of the existing generator, and you can see that big white tank right there is it's the diesel fuel tank, and those two items will be replaced. This is going a little bit further south on Carp Ranch Road, looking the same direction, which you can see is Carp Ranch Road going up to the northeast. This is if you were standing about where the new generator is going to go, and basically put your right hand out and touch the side of the generator. That's where this photograph was taken from, and it's looking north on Carp Branch Road. the same exact spot except turning around 180 degrees and looking south and then looking due west in that, into that wooded area. I should mention that the that area right across the street on the west side that we're looking at with the woods, that's actually property that's owned by Del Arte Co-op. I'd like to mention that the generator, of course, because of the nature is an emergency backup generator, will only run during a power outage, and also when there's a brief periodic testing. It will be environmentally cleaner than diesel because it's natural gas. When it's running, it'll be a little bit quieter than the diesel generator, and it will look, this is a cut sheet, I think they're called, that shows the generator inside its housing, and this is what it will look like on the outside. It's 30 feet long, about 30 feet long, 13 feet high, and 8 feet wide. And I think at this time, I'd like to ask Mr. Jester to come up and ask you a few questions. And first of all, if you would tell the folks how long you've been employed at the co-op and in what capacity.
11 years, 3 months. I've been with Electric Co-op and as an electrical engineer and a manager, a department manager.
And you're familiar with the matters we've been talking about tonight, about the existing generator, the problems we've had with it, and the need for the new generator, and all
yep.
that?
Yes, I am.
Okay, and you've reviewed the exhibits that we presented tonight and in the exhibit books?
Yes, I have.
And would you say that they're fair and accurate representations of what they pretend to portray?
They are.
And you've listened to my presentation this evening, obviously. And would you accept and adopt my statements and representations as your sworn testimony, the same as if I ask you questions on direct?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Is there anything you'd like to correct or modify that I've said or add to?
Simply to say that this was this occurred by coincidence at the same time that we had variances in zoning on the other additions. We didn't realize until we had the routine testing by DNREC that there was an ammonia issue. And we had to have the SCR catalytic system repaired to not very good avail to us.
Now, I have one more question for you, Jack, and that is there anywhere along Carp Ranch Road that you could install this generator without having to totally redesign, redevelop, change the whole layout, spend a lot of money?
No.
No? Okay. That's all I have in terms of testimony. I don't want to take up a lot of your time, but I know that you have to address the five criteria. And you can sit down, Jack. This is actually in my presentation. The uniqueness of the property, I'm not even going to go through that. This is all, these are things that were included when we were here in January, and the board obviously determined at that time that this particular property was unique from a zoning perspective, but it cannot be otherwise developed. The cooperative is required to provide adequate and reliable service to its customers by statute, and to do that, it must have an emergency backup generator. I've explained that the diesel-powered generator and the facilities to which it is connected were installed on the Carp Ranch side of the parcel about 1998, which behind what was then a 40-foot setback. And in 2016, I've explained that the existing generator failed to meet the clean air standards, and I've explained why the replacement generator has to be put in that particular place. Not created by the applicant. None of these things were in DEC's control. One of the significant things is that the county amended its ordinance at some time in the past to make this a what's called a through lot, and a through lot requires a front yard setback from not only the front but also the rear, which is Route 13 Carp Ranch Road, and also increased the prior 40-foot setback prior to 1999 to a 60-foot setback after DEC had already installed these facilities. Second thing that was out of our control was the adoption of the stationary generator emissions regulations, and then the generator's failure to meet them. We've offered testimony and evidence this evening about the efforts that the co-op has made to try to continue to use the existing generator, and it's just not feasible. We've offered testimony about why the location of the new generator is dictated by the way how things came before. In terms of altering the essential character of the neighborhood, this neighbor hasn't changed for decades. There have been no complaints about any of the cooperative's activities in over seven decades. As I mentioned, the co-op actually owns the land directly across where the replacement generator will go. I think another significant factor is the new generator will cause no observable impact. If you look at the entire site plan, this 30-foot-long structure is a really tiny piece of equipment when you look at the entire size of the co-op headquarters. And in fact, rather than replacing the generator that's already been there for almost 20 years, the replacement generator will sit almost entirely behind the original 40-foot setback, except for the northwest corner. And somewhat ameliorating anything is we're going to be removing the existing generator and also the fuel tank. So it's kind of a switch in and switch out. And then finally, this is the 22 feet is the minimum variance. Again, I'm repeating myself now, but we've explained why it has to be placed in close proximity to the existing generator. And as Jack just testified a minute ago, there's no place on the parcel along Carp Ranch Road where the co-op can place the replacement generator outside the 60-foot setback without completely redesigning, reconfiguring, reconstructing the electrical lines, voltage detectors, transformers, and other equipment. And also, the warehouse, there are fuel islands, there's a stormwater management pond, there's all kinds of other things that are planned on the site that moving that generator would just throw everything off. So that's basically it. If you have any other questions, I'm more than happy to try to answer them.
All right. Mr. Mills, let's start with you. If you have any questions?
No questions.
Okay. Mr. Hudson?
No, sir.
Mr. Rick?
No questions.
Mr. Workman?
Yeah, the natural gas line, is that coming, is that on Carp Ranch Road, or are you getting it from the 13?
We looked at those alternatives, and it'll be coming down Carp Ranch Road from inside Greenwood. Distribution line will be run to us.
From the highway coming through, or from Adams Road 8, that's what you get it from?
Not that direction. It'll be coming behind the convenience store farms in that general neighborhood.
Okay.
Out 13, and then hitting Carp Ranch Road from the north to us.
Yeah, I didn't realize where it was coming from. I knew it was on 13, but I didn't know where it was.
Right. The on 13 directly across from us is a transmission tap, which would be more difficult.
Okay, that's why. Okay.
Yes.
No other questions.
On me.
Yes, sir. Questions.
No questions. Okay. Hearing no further questions. Are there any persons here that are in favor of this application? Is there anyone here in opposition to this application? Chair, hearing none, I'll entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, I think the applicant is definitely demonstrated a uniqueness, probably not as we're accustomed to in terms of property so much as the situation, and the need to provide emergency power, and then of course the components involved with that all create a uniqueness. And therefore, I think necessary to enable reasonable use of the property. As far as not being created by the applicant, as the applicant has stated, the setbacks changed from when the property was originally developed, as far back as 1940. And so therefore, I don't see where the hardship was created by them, or the practical difficulty, as I should say. Didn't hear testimony that would alter the essential character of the neighborhood or substantially or permanently impair the appropriate uses and development of adjacent properties, or would be detrimental to public welfare. In fact, as it is now, according to, I guess, DENREC, it would be detrimental to public welfare if they left it the way it was. So I think they're seeking a minimum to afford relief, and I make a motion that we approve case number 11,941.
That was second to that motion?
Second.
Got a motion by Mr. Mills, second by Mr. Workman, that we approve case number 11,941. All those in favor of the motion? Mr. Hudson?
Aye for the reasons stated.
Mr. Rickards?
Aye for the reasons stated.
Again, Mr. Workman?
Aye for those reasons stated.
Mr. Lewis?
Aye for my reasons.
And Mr. Galloway, for the previous reason have been stated, so by a vote of 5-0, case number 11,941 is approved.
Thank you very much. Gentlemen, yes, I want to tell you this was my swan song. At the end of this year, I'll be retiring from practice. I'd like to introduce Mr. Jamie Nutter from Parkowski, Noble, and Kirk. Okay. And the next time somebody from the co-op represents them in front of you, it'll be Mr. Nutter.
Okay.
Where are you retiring to?
Dover.
Dover?
Dover, Rehoboth. I've got, you know.
Well, that's good. Well,
I'm just retiring.
I wish you the best of luck in your retirement.
All right.
Whatever you do.